Good morning, everyone. At least for you, it is good morning. For me, it is good afternoon, because I am here on May the 30th in the afternoon at about 2 o'clock, recording this message here, and then I'll send it to Peter Bolton either tonight or tomorrow morning, and he will have it for you next week. I like doing it this way, better than Zoom, because our apartment is quite small and the light isn't all that good. Plus, my wife is often still sleeping in the mornings, and so I can't make any noise. So I like doing it this way. This is the way I do it when I send messages to Belgium. There have been 8 so far, and they've been listened to over 9,000 times, and that's wonderful. I can still have a ministry in Belgium, and I praise God for that. So I'm very glad to have been asked to speak once more to you. I miss going to Cambridge, to Eagle Street, because I always enjoyed being in your midst. You are a group of wonderful people, and I really enjoy your fellowship and your love for the Lord. And so I'm very thankful that I get this opportunity to share something with you. But before I start, let's pray together first, okay? Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We give you thanks for all that you are to us. We thank you that we know the living God. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, who rose from the dead and broke the power of sin and of the grave. And we thank you, Father, that we can communicate with each other in this way. And we thank you that we are not bound to a building. We thank you that you've given us these means to share things with each other. And so we pray, Lord, that you will touch us this morning. You are God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. And we long to hear from you again, because we need to hear from you, not from a man, but from God himself and from heaven. So speak to us, touch our hearts, guide us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. Before I go into what I want to share with you, I have, by the way, an encouragement for you, and I have a challenge for you. But I want to start with this. It's at least 55 years ago that I read a book about a man in one of the southern United States in the beginning, 1900, I think it was. I hardly remember anything of the book, except that the man built quite a good sawmill, and he'd put his last penny into it, and it was starting to go quite well. He lived down the road, a ways up the hill, in a house, and this must have been on a Sunday, because there was nobody in the building. But all at once, dark clouds came, the wind started blowing, and a storm came up, and not only that, but a tornado came. And it must have been a powerful, maybe an F5 or so, but it flattened the whole sawmill and blew pieces of it far away. When the storm had calmed, the man came out of his house, and as he was on a little hill, he could look down, and he saw no sawmill anymore, just ruins. Yeah, the ground covered with boards and machinery and stuff like that, and many parts had blown away, and there he stood with clenched fists in his pockets and tears in his eyes. And he said, "What now?" And then he said to himself, "Well," and that's the sentence that has stayed with me and which I repeat quite often. He said, "Well, a man does have a choice. He can choose despair or he can choose faith." Very interesting. He didn't say he can choose despair or he can choose hope. No, he said he can choose despair or he can choose faith. And I'll come back to that in just a moment. But this sentence has always stayed with me. Powerful sentence. We choose. And you can choose for despair and you can choose for faith. Now, what is despair? Despair is the loss of all hope. And I believe right now there is a lot of despair in this world, in our country. Many have lost hope. And we see a lot of suicides increasing. We see a lot of marriage problems and marriages breaking up, homes breaking up, and many other things. Many people are despairing. They've lost all hope. And that's very sad, and it breaks my heart to see that going on. So that's despair, the loss of all hope. It's looking at your circumstances, looking at yourself, that's what causes you to lose hope. What is faith? Faith is the opposite of despair. Faith is looking up to God, which resulted in getting hope. As Peter says, but this is a real hope, as Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." A living hope. And we could say there are two kinds of hope. There is a dead hope and a living hope. There is a worldly hope and there is a godly hope. And the difference is this. If you go outside tomorrow morning or this afternoon or whenever, and you meet one of your neighbors on the street and you get talking, and this man tells you that his brother-in-law has just died from COVID, but he says he told me that if he were to die, he would go to heaven. And so you ask this neighbor, and you say, well, what about you? If you were to die, would you go to heaven? And 90% of the time, the answer will be, well, I hope so. And they're not sure at all, because it depends on what they have done themselves. And most people sort of know that they haven't really done enough, but they hope that God will have mercy and that they'll get there anyway. I hope so. We're going to have a barbecue tomorrow. Is it going to be good weather? Well, I hope so. But it's very uncertain, in spite of the weatherman. Yeah. But there is another hope. And as I just quoted Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again, according to his mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there is a dead hope, an uncertain hope, an unsure hope, but there's also a living hope, which is certain, which is sure, because it is based not on what we have done or are doing, but it is based upon the character of God. It is based on the Word of God, the unchangeable Word of God. It is based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now, despair overtakes us when we look at our circumstances. And right now, as I said, there is a lot of despair because this pandemic is no joke. But we do not only despair when we look at this pandemic right now, we can also despair when we look at the future. What's going to come? What's going to happen? And I believe that's one reason that people are committing suicide. They don't see any future anymore. They have no hope for the future. And that's sad. So not only can despair overtake us because of the circumstances now, but also because of looking ahead and thinking ahead. Well, I have some words for you from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And how true that is. No use worrying about tomorrow. If you lie in bed at night, I've done that a lot. And now I get a hold of myself when I do that and I say, Richard, what are you doing? What's the use worrying about that now? It doesn't change a thing. Yeah. And so my wife and I often see each other one day at a time. You know, there is that song, one day at a time, dear Jesus. And we not only say one day at a time, often we say one moment at a time. We have good moments, we have bad moments. But we live one moment at a time, one day at a time. That's what Jesus taught. He says in Matthew 6:27, and I like that one, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? And you know, it doesn't work. Eh? Let's turn it around. Suppose we can add a cubit to our stature when we worry. If that were possible, I would be the tallest man in the world. And maybe some of you too. But it doesn't work. So what's the use of worrying? Corrie ten Boom has said, and I don't know the exact words, but I think it's something like this. Corrie ten Boom said, worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair. You're always moving, but you're not getting anywhere. How true that is. Worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair. You're always moving, but you're not getting anywhere. Okay, so I have two things, encouragement and challenge. Here's the encouragement. Peter writes about the living hope. Where do we find that hope? Of course, in the Word of God. And I've got three wonderful texts for you that really have meant and do mean a lot to me. The first one is in Psalm 42, verse 5 and 11, and also in Psalm 43. And it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, or have faith in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And I've quoted that verse to myself a number of times. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. He's talking to his own soul. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why are you discouraged? Hope in God. Have faith in God, which will result in hope. Have faith in God, or hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I may not be able to praise him right now, but the day will come that I will praise him again, or the moment will come that I will praise him again. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. As it says in another Psalms, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah. So hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. If it isn't down here, it certainly will be up there. The New International Version has it this way. Why, my soul, are you cast down? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, put your faith in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And how true that is, and what a tremendous encouragement. Yeah, and how we need to pass that on to each other, to hope in God, have faith in God, for I shall yet praise him. The second verse is very familiar, one of my favorite ones in the Old Testament. It's Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in you because he trusts in you. Now, I want to change one word. I'm allowed to do that. You will keep him in perfect peace whose thinking is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Whose thinking. The mind is such a powerful instrument. Yeah, that's what the advertisement works on all the time. They repeat something over and over and over again, and they know ultimately it will stick. They work on your mind, your subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind gets the message of the advertisement and brings it ultimately to the conscious mind, and you might say, I'm going to buy that. So that's the... I've got one more verse. Yeah, and that's from the Lord Jesus himself. And again, very familiar, but very applicable in this day in which we're living. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the word of Jesus for us today in this pandemic, in this difficult time. And maybe you're not having a difficult time. I'm not having such a difficult time. I'm in my own apartment. I have my computer. I have my wife to care for, and so on. But I think of young couples, especially in cities like Toronto, in the huge apartment buildings, young couple with small children. My goodness, the parents must go up the wall sometimes. What do they do with those children all the time? And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. May I just change it a bit too for today? Come to me, all you who are in despair. And there's lots of them today who are in despair. As I said, that's why the suicide rate is going up. And the broken marriages and things like that. Come to me, all you who are in despair, and I will give you rest. Christ is our rest, and he will give us rest. So what an encouragement. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. Trust in God. Have faith in God, for I shall yet praise him. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thinking is stayed on you. And come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, all you who are in despair, and I will give you rest. That's the encouragement I have for myself and for you. Here's the challenge. I have a question for you. How are you experiencing this pandemic? How do you look at it? With self-pity and despair, or with faith, hope, and expectation? You know, actually, this pandemic shows us that this life is not the real thing, doesn't it? Right now, you can go to sport events. Well, it's slowly starting, but very slowly. You can't travel. The theaters are closed, and many other things. Parks are partly closed, and things like that. And people sit at home. Yeah. I wonder whether God isn't trying to loosen us from this world, to show us that this life is not the real life. We've had it so well all these years, and now all at once we're stopped dead in our tracks. We've got to stay home, locked in our homes. Unbelievable. And God is saying, come. Yeah. Come to me. So is God trying to loosen us from this world? This is not the real life. There's another life coming. And the life here right now is only a preparation for the real life and the eternal life that's coming. And so we need to prepare. And I believe that's what the Lord wants. Now, I don't know how you experience this pandemic. I don't know how you look at it. But I see this pandemic as a real challenge and also an opportunity. And there are three challenges. Listen to this. Number one, there's a challenge and there is the opportunity to strengthen our own faith. Most of us have more time on our hands now, right? As I said, we can't go to sporting events. We can't go traveling. We sit at home more. And instead of just watching Netflix, I don't even have it, but maybe you do, or watching TV or whatever, yeah, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to strengthen our faith. Because And I don't want to scare you, but far worse things are coming. Far worse things are coming. And maybe this pandemic, God allows it to prepare us for what is coming. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, number one, I know it from the Word of God. Jesus warned us and warned his disciples. He said, for example, in Matthew 10:22, and you all will be hated by all for my and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, here I have overcome the world. Acts 14:22, the apostles, Paul and another, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Paul in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, Western Christianity is not the norm. The way we have been living and enjoying freedom, freedom of religion especially, that's not the norm. All through the ages, from the first beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ, Christians have had a tough time. Christians have been persecuted. They've been put in jail. They've been killed. Jesus prophesied it. The apostles warned us. Yeah. So what we are experiencing is not the norm. And things are going to change. I believe the reason, let me say this first. You know, right now, Christians in China, in the Middle East, in Africa, especially Nigeria, there they are by the thousands being killed, burned alive in their houses, tortured and raped, and you call, name it. They think they're going through the Great Tribulation now already. And the reason that we have not experienced that kind of tribulation, we've had some too. I remember in Belgium years ago that I think at least 7 teachers lost their jobs in the schools, Catholic schools, because they talked about the Bible and they weren't allowed to. They lost their job. So that was some kind of persecution. But the persecution that they are experiencing in China and in Africa and other places, being put in jail, being tortured, being even killed, we haven't had that kind of persecution here in North America and in Western society. And I believe the reason is because our culture, our society, is built upon the Judean Christian foundation. And that's why we've been spared so far. But this is rapidly deteriorating. Trudeau loves the Muslims and hates the evangelical Christians. In the States, what's going on, it's unbelievable. God has been put out, crime is increasing, and so on. Yeah, persecution is coming, real persecution, as they experience it in China and in other parts of the world. So I believe that difficult times are coming. And the Bible warns us about that. Yeah. But not only the Bible, if we just look around us in the world, we have to conclude that, yeah, bad things are going to happen. Conditions in the world. Think of China and Taiwan. China still wants Taiwan to come back. It's part of China, they say, and they've been invading Taiwanese airspace the last while more often. And it's because of Biden's weak leadership. Not only that, but North Korea is starting again with its nuclear program. Russia is at the border of Ukraine. Oh, certainly they've withdrawn some soldiers, but there's still thousands of soldiers right at the border. The Middle East, Iran, this whole thing the last couple of weeks with Israel and Hamas. It's Iran. Iran gives Hamas the weapons and the money and the technology and you name it. And Iran, realizing that Biden is weak, they attack. Hezbollah in Lebanon has 130,000 rockets aimed at Israel. They could wipe Israel from the map. And of course, that's their purpose. Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, they want to destroy Israel totally. And things are going to happen. Right now, the two greatest threats to world peace are number one, China, and number two, Islam. And Islam is doing awful things. I just mentioned Nigeria, thousands of people killed. We had a couple from Belgium working in Burkina Faso, used to be Upper Volta. And they, just this last week or 2 weeks ago, 15 people were murdered as they were getting baptized. The Islamist soldiers came in and killed them. And in Nigeria, thousands have been killed and are being killed. And by the way, in Europe, the Europeans, they're too nice. They don't want to believe what Islam wants to do. But did you know that in the UK, in Britain, there is already an Islamic parliament. And the British were against it. They didn't want it, but they did it anyway. They have their own parliament, just imagine. In France, Paris, many of the suburbs around Paris, the police cannot enter. Yeah, they're ruled by Islamic people. So, we need to prepare ourselves. You know, Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Arm yourselves. So Peter says that we need to get ready. We need to arm ourselves. We need to strengthen our faith. And I believe this is a good time, now that we have a bit more time on hand, this is a good time to prepare us for the evil times that are to come upon us. Now, how do we strengthen our faith? How do we arm ourselves? I saw a picture of a room in China a couple of weeks ago or months ago. Quite a large room with at least two rows of benches. And quite a number, maybe 30, 40, 50, no less than that, 40 people, Chinese people sitting on these benches, and they all had a Bible in their hands or on their knees. And they were together memorizing the Word of God because they know that very soon they will lose their Bibles. The communists have printed their own Bible and, of course, twisted and changed everything. Terrible. So they prepare themselves by memorizing the Word of God. And what a good thing to do. And I would advise you, do that. And some of you may say, well, I can't memorize. That's not true. Do you drive car? And if you're a little bit older, then probably you learned to drive in a car with a stick shift. Remember how difficult it was to let up the clutch and give gas at the same time? And you know how it went? Woo, 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 woo. But now you get in the car, you don't even think. You talk to the person next to you and it all goes automatically. How come? Because you've repeated it so often. When you repeat something again and again and again and again, it will stick. The communist said if you repeat a lie often enough, it will become truth. It will stick. And how true that is. So memorize the Word of God. Because the day is coming, and I don't believe it's that far off, that we will lose our Bibles. It'll be declared to be a book of hate. Because it writes against homosexuality and things like that. So, memorize Scripture and study Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, memorize that chapter. Because there we find the heroes of faith, people that have gone through awful things. Yeah, and so on. Paul writes to the Colossians in chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your thinking, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. And actually, this pandemic ought to show us that the things on earth, they're not really worth that much. And we're going to lose them ultimately. Yeah. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. So that's the first challenge. We need to strengthen our own faith. We need to arm ourselves for what's going to come. Secondly, there is the challenge and opportunity to encourage one another. We need to encourage ourselves. We need to strengthen ourselves. We need to strengthen the faith of brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a verse in Galatians 6:10 that says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And the first time I read that, I thought, well, that's quite selfish, isn't it? No, it isn't. You see, if the church is not healthy, it cannot be the testimony it ought to be. My wife has a serious illness, disease, and I have to look after her. And several people already have warned me and told me, Richard, you got to look after yourself. Because if you go down, you won't be any help to your wife. You've got to make sure that you keep well. And that's the way it is with the church. That's why Paul says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, yes, but especially to our brothers and sisters, so that the church may be strong and may be a vibrant and living testimony. Now, how do we do that? How do we encourage one another? Especially now that we can come together in the building and have prayer meetings together and Bible study together and break bread together and so on. Well, we can send a card to somebody. Why don't you do that this week? You can make a phone call to somebody and pray with that person over the phone. There's nothing wrong with that. God hears and answers. You can send an email a couple times a week. Send an email to one or two brothers in the church. Maybe some need financial help and you can give a bit. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. So encourage one another, strengthen one another in the faith. And then thirdly, and my time is almost up, thirdly, there is not only the opportunity or the challenge to strengthen our own faith, to arm ourselves, there is the challenge and opportunity to encourage one another, to strengthen the faith of one another, but there is also the challenge and opportunity to show our faith to a hopeless world, a world in despair. We are living in tremendous days, really. We can be real testimonies now. The world is watching us, and we need to show them that knowing Jesus makes a difference going through this pandemic. Listen to Paul in Philippians 2, 14, 15. Do all things without complaining and disputings, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, or in the midst of a pandemic, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Isn't that something? We as children of God are to shine as lights in the world. You know, the sun is a picture of God. The moon is a picture of Christ. The stars are a picture of us believers. And we are to shine as lights, as stars. And someone has said, and that's so true, the darker the night, the brighter the stars. Yeah, the darker the night, and that's why, for example, in Saskatchewan, there is no light from cities. You can go out into the country where my in-laws live, way far away from any city or town. And boy, the skies are dark. Unbelievable. Beautiful. Northern Lights too, but the skies are really dark. Here, when you live in Kitchener-Waterloo, the sky is not so dark because there's too much artificial light from the lights in the city. The darker the night, the brighter the stars. And the night is dark right now with this pandemic. And it's going to get darker yet. Oh, we might get out of this pandemic, but there's other things coming. Things in the States are going down, really down. We're not going to go into that now because we don't have the time for it. The darker the night, the brighter the stars. If you are a Christian, you have something that a non-Christian doesn't have. You have God, you have His peace, you have His power in the storms of life. And He wants you to show that to the people around you, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives. To sum it all up, one, be encouraged. In spite of this pandemic, be encouraged. God is with you. God is for you. And that's the most important thing. They went through that storm on the lake, the disciples, but Jesus was in the boat. And when you have Jesus in your boat, you can handle the storm. So, be encouraged. That's one. Secondly, make use of this opportunity. Make use of this time to strengthen your own faith, to arm yourself for the future, to strengthen your own faith, to strengthen the faith of brothers and sisters in the church, in the family of God, and to be a shining light in this dark world. Yeah, we can be real testimonies now in this dark world. So I come back to what the man said, with clenched fists in his pocket, tears running down his cheeks. What now? What now? And maybe some of you are saying that with this pandemic. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe your business is ruined. Maybe your marriage is in bad shape. What now? And the man said, a man does have a choice. He can choose despair or he can choose faith. That's why I believe he must have been a Christian. I don't remember the book, just the sawmill and that storm and the last sentence. A man does have a choice. He can choose despair or he can choose faith. He didn't say you can choose despair or you can choose hope. No, you can choose despair or you can choose faith. And faith will give you the true hope, the living hope of which Peter spoke. Life is a choice. Everything in life is a choice. Being happy is a choice. We always think it depends on our circumstances. Being happy comes from happiness from happy circumstances. No, happiness is a choice. Yeah. Now, I know someone, and I'll close with this. I know someone who made a choice. I know someone who made a choice. His name is Jesus. And listen to this. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Listen, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus made a choice. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane there, he had a tremendous struggle. I would almost say he was pretty close to despair. He didn't despair, but he could have. He knew what was coming. The awful suffering, the rejection of the people, his death on the cross, and you name it. And he said, Father, if possible, let this cup pass by. You'd almost think he was despairing, but he wasn't. Let this cup pass by. But then he chose. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He made a choice. And he did that because of the joy that lay before him. The joy of hearing the Father's voice saying, well done, my son. The joy of seeing millions upon millions upon millions of people redeemed by his blood forever and ever. That joy, the joy that was set before him. The other day, one of our teachers here spoke, and he had it over the, or he mentioned the fact that when we look ahead of us, it helps us to endure the present. And he named one little example I had to smile with. He said, when you're in the evening with your kids and they're a bit loud or rowdy or whatever, he says, you know that bedtime is coming. And the fact that you know that bedtime is coming gives you the strength to continue on. Well, I'm not having it over bedtime. Jesus, the joy that was set before, and the joy that is set before us, people. Wow. And of course, my wife and I, because we're at that age that we could be gone anytime, we look forward to that. And we appreciate the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, how we look forward to that day when these old bodies are cast off and totally renewed. What a joy before me. What a joy that I have to look forward to. And that's what gives me the strength to continue on now. Because I know this life here now is just momentarily. It's just, it's like a dust. Yeah. And the Bible gives different descriptions of that, but we don't go into that now. So what a wonderful thing. The joy that is set before us should give us the strength. Not the joy of the end of the pandemic. Yeah, not the joy of a pay raise, even though that's fine. No, the joy of eternal home with the Lord. The joy of being delivered from this world and from evil and from sin. Wow. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have these wonderful, encouraging words in Scripture. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said, come unto me, all you who are in despair, and I will give you rest. And how true that is. Thank you that we can find rest with you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And Father, help us to remind ourselves continually. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. And as Paul wrote, if you then risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Not the things of this life, not the things on this world, but the things which are above. Father, help us to arm ourselves. Thank you for encouraging words, but thank you also for a challenge to arm ourselves, to prepare ourselves for what is yet to come. And there's evil things coming, Lord. We know it. Not only does the Bible say it, but we can see it when we look at this world right now. Help us to arm ourselves. Help us to encourage one another. And help us to be shining stars in the darkness of this world and in this dark time. Father, I commit each one listening to this to you, and I pray that you who know the needs of each and every one, that you will touch the hearts and lives of each and every one, and strengthen us, Lord, encourage us and fill us with your Spirit so that we might be what we ought to be. And thank you that we can hope in you, that we can have faith in you, and that the time will come that we will praise you again. If we can't praise you right now, that's possible because of difficulties and trials, but the day will come, or the moment will come, that we will praise you again, and we will praise you for all eternity. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.